We return once again to the Sermon on the Mount, found in the Gospel of Matthew. Tonight we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, as we continue the final chapter on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7. Beginning and read at verse 7 and reading through verse 11. Let us be reminded that this is God's holy and authoritative and inspired word. From Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We're going to end the reading of God's word there and trust that he will bless it unto us. You'll find in your bulletin a place where you may take notes, and I'll assist you in your note taking and encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we study this text together. Let's pause for a moment and ask God for his blessing in a prayer of illumination. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we know a lot more about prayer than what we practice. Lord, tonight as we look at these words, we ask that it may be more than simply information, but that that by your Spirit we'll be encouraged to pray. Lord, help us to be a praying people. And a people that trusts in you for the answers. We ask this in Jesus' name. And let us say together, amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, some of us as parents have probably already the process has already begun. My children have already said to me, Dad, this is what I want for Christmas this year. Their list has started. And their list is much more exhaustive than what they're going to find. But they come and they say, Dad, this Lego set I really want. Dad, this new Star Wars set is coming out and I really want it bad. My girls maybe aren't quite as begging, but my boys have begun. Dad, this video game I really want. Really bad. And they beg for it. And they drop the hints about it. Maybe some of your kids have started it already. And I hope that tonight, as I use this as an illustration, that it doesn't start for your parents beginning tonight. They beg, and they plead, and they ask, again, and again, and again. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's how we should pray. Time, and time, and time, again. Jesus here introduces us to another passage on prayer. Another one in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, this doesn't seem to connect with the rest of the passages that we've studied thus far. Some of you, with your keen understanding, are going, how does this idea of judgment introduce us to prayer? Jesus has been instructing them, look, don't be too harsh. Don't be naive. Don't lack discernment. Don't be hypercritical. Jesus is saying, look, And the standard by which we judge isn't based on our opinion or what we think is right, but it's based upon God's word. And that's what we looked at last week. And it's so natural. Naturally, Jesus says, well, how are we going to know? How are we going to know what is right? How are we going to know what is wrong? How do we do this appropriately? And Jesus, as he continues this sermon, is reminding us the way we do that is in prayer. He's praying. Now, he takes us to the subject once again here in verses 7 through 11. We know that in Matthew chapter 6, we studied the duty that we have to pray. And Jesus taught us about the attitude that we should have about prayer. He even gave us a prayer that we commonly recite, the Lord's Prayer, giving us kind of an outline of what things that we should pray for. But tonight, in our text this evening, Jesus teaches us that through the means of prayer, God can give us discernment. God can give us wisdom. God can give us what we need when we need it. Whether that means that we're trying to figure out what is right and what is wrong and how to approach this situation. He's telling us that we can go to the Lord in prayer when we're anxious about everything, as he has mentioned before. As we're struggling with storing up treasures on earth or treasures in heaven, when we're struggling on who to serve, God or man, and as we're struggling with living the life of the Beatitudes, as we're struggling to be salt and light, all these things, Jesus is coming back and giving us encouragement, saying, pray. Pray. Ask God. Ask him. Because he will give us wisdom. He will tell us when we're to do this. He will guide us and give us wisdom in when we should do that. And so this evening, let's look at this text this evening, these verses, to see what Jesus, as he teaches us once again about prayer, what Jesus is teaching us in these verses. So you have your pen and you want to take some notes, let me give you the first point this evening. The first point this evening is this, that we must boldly ask the Father for His grace. We must boldly ask the Father for His grace. Look at me at verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Three imperatives, three commandments that we find here in this verse. If you're someone that likes to write in your Bible, you want to make a couple notes here on your outline, notice he says, ask, seek, knock. Those aren't options. Jesus is saying, these are what you are to do as believers. Ask, seek, knock. John Calvin writes this, quote, nothing is better adapted to excite us to prayer than a full conviction that we shall be heard. We'll be heard. Ask, seek, and knock, and we will be heard. It's nice to be heard. Now, I'm sure all of you are good at this, but there are times where Corey and I, sometimes we don't hear each other. And our children, there are times that they don't listen to us either. Now, I'm sure your families are perfect in this, but mine, this is, there are times where it happens. And there's times where we just want to kind of throw up our hands and say, you know, why do I even bother talking? You're not going to listen anyway. Why talk? But God does hear us. God does listen to us. We must never think that He doesn't. He desires us to share our concerns and our requests. But not only does He hear us, He hears us, but He's going to answer. He doesn't hear us and then just ignore it and simply say, you know what, I'm sorry. What you are asking is foolish, is not worth my answer. God does answer our prayers. We talk, we will be heard. That's what we want from our children. That's what we want from our spouses. to have conversations, to be heard. God wants us to talk because he's promised he will hear us. And that should motivate us to pray. That should motivate us to boldly ask the Father for his grace, because you see, we can go to him and know he will listen and he will answer. Matthew Henry will write these words about prayer, that these three words, quote, teach us to pray often, to pray with sincerity and seriousness, to pray again and again, to make a conscious effort of prayer, to be constant in prayer, to make it a business of prayer, to be earnest in prayer. Brothers and sisters in Christ, does that describe us tonight? That we are always praying earnestly. Jesus gives us these three commands. Ask, seek, knock. That word ask describes a request from an inferior to a superior. It's like a beggar asking for money. It's like a request before a judge. It's begging. It's pleading. And when Jesus tells his followers here, ask and it will be given to you, he is saying we must beg and plead to our Heavenly Father because we are so much in need. Jesus will later on tell the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, and he will tell us, you know, don't pray like the Pharisee who tells God things. I'm so glad that I'm not like this person or that person, and especially not that publican over there in the corner. The Pharisee tells God things, but the publican asks God for things. He knows he's a sinner. He knows he is needy. So he begs and pleads for God's mercy. And Jesus here is instructing us to ask, to be humble in our prayers, to recognize we're needy, and go and beg and plead to him. And he will hear. Second command he gives us is to seek. To seek, that idea of searching or scouring for things. Maybe some of you have at one time or another lost your wedding ring. And you know the panic that you go through. You know that you are looking all over for it. Scouring, you're searching, you're seeking. With Jacob's accident that occurred in July, we have been dealing with insurance companies and bills and so on. And there are times where we want an answer about a bill, and we don't want to call an automated service. We don't want to get online in some chat room. We want to talk to a real person. We want an answer. We want an answer now. Jesus is saying, look, in our prayers, seek. Search. Search for an answer. Desire that answer. Ask because we're needy. Seek because you want an answer. And then Jesus says, thirdly, to knock, pounding or banging on the door. When I used to deliver softener salt, and I would go to a house, the doorbell didn't ring. I didn't just simply go. No, you gotta bang on that, especially if it's a large house. They might not hear you, and so you bang on that. If it does have a doorbell, sometimes we ring the doorbell. We ring it many times if we're desperately in need. We might even yell just so somebody in the house will hear us. Jesus will tell a story in Luke 11 about a friend who needs bread. He needs bread to feed his guests. His guests, surprise guests that come in the middle of the night. So he goes to his neighbor and asks for bread. And the neighbor says, look, I'm sleeping. I'm in bed right now. And the neighbor's persistent, look, I need to feed these people. I need bread. And so he knocks and knocks and knocks. Until finally the neighbor gets up and gives him bread. Jesus here is teaching the idea of persistence, about diligence, about boldness, to ask, and to seek, and to knock. And this is how we should pray. This is how we should go to our Lord. Humbly, pleading, begging, knowing that we have a Lord who hears us and will answer us. This is how we should pray with this sense of need. This is how we should pray in the midst of our various circumstances. When times seem rough, when times seem confusing, when there is frustration, and even in times in which everything seems to be going well, to pray in this capacity, to ask and seek and knock, to pursue God, to pursue Him in prayer like we did our lost wedding ring, like that neighbor who sought food at midnight. Or in another parable, as Jesus tells a widow who persistently asked the unjust just judge for justice. To seek the Lord. To persevere. To be diligent. That should describe our prayer life. Now we must boldly ask the Father for His grace. That leads us to our second point this evening, and that is this, that we find, is that God will graciously answer. Our second point, God will graciously answer. I don't know how many of us have ever thought of this, but God is always ready to give, God is always more ready to give than we are to receive. God is always more ready to give than we are to receive. It's in prayer that God changes our hearts in such a way that prepares us to receive it with thanksgiving for what God will give us. God is not like a parent who spoils their children, who gives them everything they want, everything that they ask for. That's not the God that we serve. But God gives us everything that we need. And God, by His Spirit, changes us in such a way that that our desires become in tune with what He desires for us. That He blesses us with answers. And we respond with thanksgiving. Remind you again of the Heidelberg Catechism. It says, why do we pray? Because prayer is one of the most important ways that we express thankfulness. We can be thankful that God will graciously answer. And knowing that God will graciously answer prompts us to pray even more, to ask God more, to ask God more, to seek God more, to knock at the door more. We have three commands in verse 7, ask, seek, and knock. I want you to note in our text this evening that God's promises are doubled. We have three commands, but in verses 7 and 8 alone, we have six promises for us. Six promises. And so if there's nothing more that will spur us on to pray, it's to know that God will give us even more than what we ask for. And it will be for our good. and it'll be for His glory. Three commands, six promises. Again, if you're someone who likes to write your Bible, you can underline it. If you want to jot these down in your notes, please do so. Six commands, here they are. Ready? The first one, Jesus commands us to ask. The promise is this, and it will be given to you. It will be given to you. God's answers always meets our need. It's not lent to us, and we don't have to buy it. He didn't sell it to us. He is going to give it to us. Ask and it will be given to you. Second promise we find in this passage is this. Seek and you will find. Seek and you will find. Some of you, when you sought for maybe that lost wedding ring or that lost valuable or that went missing, you looked and looked and looked and maybe you never found it. You never found it. You got to maybe shamefully go to your spouse and say, I lost my diamond. I lost my wedding band. I don't know where it's at. It went down the drain. Lost in the garbage. Whatever. The promise here that God gives us, or Jesus gives us, is this, is that seek and you will find. God is found by those who seek Him. Some of us, maybe in our prayer life, we aren't seeking enough. We're not searching enough. God will be found by those who seek Him. That's the second promise we find. Seek and you will find. Third promise we find here is this. Knock and it will be open to you. The door of God's mercy is opened by the instrument of prayer. God answers our prayers. God shows us His sovereignty as He answers our prayers. God shows us His goodness for His people as He answers our prayers. As we're persistent, as we're diligent, as we're pounding on the door and begging and asking and pleading to know that God hears our prayers, that God will answer our prayers, that He will demonstrate His sovereignty and He will demonstrate His goodness to us. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Those are the three promises we find in verse 7. How about the promises we find in verse 8? For everyone who asks, receives. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who asks, receives. You don't have to have an office. You don't have to be some sort of super saint. You don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be a person who says, when we need volunteers to pray in public, that you're the first one to stand up and say, yeah, I'll pray in public. That's not what at all Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying that everyone who asks receives. Kids, that includes you. Ask God to show you His grace. And God will graciously answer. Everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who asks in faith. Everyone who believes that God will indeed, that God indeed hears our prayers, then entrusts that God will indeed answer our prayers. Everyone who asks will receive. That may not be exactly what you ask for, but we will receive what God deems is good for us. We'll talk about that in just a couple minutes. Fifth promise we find here in verse 8 is this. He who seeks, finds. He who seeks, finds. Jesus doesn't give us a timetable. Jesus doesn't say, well, look, someday. Jesus implies, look, if you seek and search out for God, you will find Him. He is waiting. He is ready and He will listen. And He will listen to your prayers. He will listen to your begging and your pleading and your requests and your concerns. And the sixth promise we find here is this. To him who knocks, it will be opened. Our prayers are never in vain. Our prayers are never pointless. We should never approach them that way. sometimes when we pray and as a congregation, or sometimes when maybe we pray as a family, or as the council, or as the consistory, the deacons, we sometimes pray in such a way, and we might use the right words, but some of us maybe in the back of our minds we're going, God's not going to answer this way. Our prayers are never done in vain. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. I don't care how old any one of you is here this evening. These words are not just for you. These words are for me. These words are for believers around the world. Never stop praying. Pray continually. Pray without ceasing. Pray until you can pray, and then pray again and again and again. Because everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. So whatever your life is like right now, whatever the concerns might be, for you personally, or for your family, or for your spouse, or for your children, or for your parents, for your church, be diligent and persevere in prayer. Do not lose heart. Go to the throne of grace confidently. Because we have a God who's asked that of us. And he will graciously answer our prayers. And he is ready. God is more ready to give to us than we are to receive it. God really does care. God really does hear. God really does answer. God knows our discouragements when we pray. God knows our aches when our prayers seem to go unanswered. God knows that when we become anxious, when we become worried, when we don't really know what to say, when we struggle to believe that our prayers are heard, we need to remember these promises that God has given us. To know that this is God's will for us. To know these promises as he is shared it with us in his word. To be confident in faith that he does hear it. That he will give to us what we need, not what we want. That he will give to us for our good. And that God will continue to will and work in our lives. So pray. Ask and seek and knock. God will graciously answer our prayers. And that leads us to our third point this evening, our third and final point, and that is this, is that we must trust in the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. We must trust in the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. Christ, as he teaches here, knows that sometimes we doubt his answers. Jesus knows that sometimes we wonder whether prayer really matters. Jesus knows that there have been times in which we've asked during financial crisis or maybe emotional sadness or physical disaster. He knows that sometimes we ask, why, Lord, why? But Jesus here teaches us to trust in the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. Look with me in verses 9 through 11. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Trust in the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. What does Jesus teach us in these verses? First of all, is that we are to come to God as his children. Kids, I'm assuming that you can go to your mom or to your dad and feel pretty comfortable about asking for food. ask for a glass of milk, or a piece of bread, or a sandwich, or breakfast, or whatever it may be. I'd be curious if there was any kids here who, when you asked what's for dinner today, that your mom or your dad said, today we're having stone. Parents, don't get any wild ideas. Or if you said, hey, mom, dad, we're going to go out to eat. Where are we going? What are we going to have? And your parents said, we're having snake. It's going to happen. They care for you. They want to see you fed. They want to care for your needs. And Jesus is reminding us that our Heavenly Father cares for us too. The Heavenly Father knows our needs. Then we can go to Him as children and trust in Him. If our children need something, they find us, don't they? Sometimes as parents, the temptation is to just kind of maybe go to a room and shut the door. Maybe they'll just give up, but they don't give up, do they? They come and they find you. And that's what Jesus is teaching us concerning our Heavenly Father. We can go to Him. We can seek Him and find Him. We can go to Him as His children, and we can approach Him as our Heavenly Father. Now, we live in a day and age where you know, I understand that maybe some of us here this evening haven't had the best father figures. Some of us maybe didn't grow up in the greatest of family situations. But our Heavenly Father is better than any father you can imagine. Our Heavenly Father is better than any father that any one of us has ever had. We're His children. And He won't ignore us or disregard our needs or hide from us when we're looking for Him. Because if we ask and seek and knock, He will hear. The first thing Jesus teaches here is that we can come to God as children. Secondly, we can expect good things from God when we ask Him. He'll give us good things. That's what we want for our children, don't we? Many of us, if we were to sit down and talk about what it means to parent our children, I'm pretty sure some of us are going to say, I just want our children to have a life better than I did. But our Heavenly Father will give us the best. Not just better, the best. In fact, Jesus here uses a lesser to greater argument here in verse 11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, because even some of the worst parents out there still take care of their kids in some capacity. Some of the worst parents. Doesn't take long if we watch the news or we scroll on the internet. It doesn't take us long to realize there's a lot of bad parents in this world today. But Jesus here is saying, look, if those of you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you? Give good gifts to those who ask. God will give us good things. Things for our good. Some of us may be going, really? You know, some of the things that have occurred in my life, you would call that good? Well, that's... Maybe you don't see it now, or maybe you didn't see it then, but maybe you look back and see it and saying, yeah, that was good. Trust in the Heavenly Father. We can expect good things for us. The best things for us. And that leads to a third thing that we can learn here, that sometimes no is a blessing. He promises to give good gifts. He didn't say He would give us all gifts that we ask for. Some of us can look back at our prayers and we've asked them and we've gotten answers of no. And we can now look back and say, thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer that way. Sometimes we set our hearts on things that are not the best for us. Calvin says this, that the Heavenly Father does not hear our prayers and answer them as we ask them, but He answers them as we would ask them if we were wiser. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, thank God He has not answered all my prayers with a yes, but He has given me what I needed even when I didn't know what I needed. God gives us what we need even those times when we don't know what we really need. We think we know it, but we don't. And so the Lord hears our prayers. And so we are to trust in Him. To know that sometimes the answer of no is a blessing. Sometimes the answer no is good. Some of us here this evening don't really like that answer, no. We've gone through experiences where we've said, no, Lord, please don't answer no. Please don't. Please don't take my loved one away. Please don't. Please don't put us in this situation. Please don't close this door for me. I think this is such a great opportunity for me and my family. Sometimes no is a blessing. And that we can say thank you. Because God gives us what is good. He gives to us because He's our Heavenly Father. And we are His children. He cares for us. He loves us. He loves us enough to save us from our sins. He loves us enough to send Jesus Christ for you and for me. The Father gives up His one and only Son for our sakes. Sometimes no is a blessing. Jesus teaches us here to trust in the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. Because we're His children. That He knows what is best for us. And that sometimes can be no. James will write, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask for it. We can take it to the Lord in prayer as we sing in the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Do you know your Heavenly Father? Have you begged for things? Pleaded? Have you asked? Have you sought? Have you knocked? He desires His children to come to Him, to talk with Him. Pour out our souls to Him. And He has promised He will listen. Those Christmas wish lists are starting. And parents, I wish I could tell you that it will only get better between now and Christmas, but we all know better, don't we? It's going to get much worse because the commercials will bombard us. The flyers in the mail will bombard us. And their list will get longer and longer and longer. But you see, our Heavenly Father, our list is never too short for Him. And it's never too long for Him either. So ask. And seek. And knock. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. May we be a praying people, one that desires to go to our Heavenly Father boldly, confidently, diligently, and know He loves us. Hears us.
Amen. Let's pray.
Lord, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. To be able to share the desires of our hearts with you. To know even those times in which we can't really find the words to say, that you know our hearts and what's on our minds even before we can get it off our lips. Lord, give us the confidence to know that your answers will be better than what we want. That we can trust you and your wisdom for us. Lord, help us to persevere and pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. And let all of God's people say, Amen.